Hi, my name is Brent Kamelotic, and you're listening to the Talking Architecture and Design podcast, brought to you by the A&D Network. Today, I'm delighted to bring you the second of our five podcast series in our 2024 Aged and Healthcare Design series, proudly brought to you in association with the wonderful people over at Cineat. Cineat is part of the global ETEX group and a proud manufacturer of plasterboard and metal framing systems in Australia. Known for their excellent technical support, a focus on sustainability and innovative products, Cineat has grown into a trusted brand for architects and builders alike in the residential and commercial sectors. Visit www.cineat.com.au for more information. And today we have with us in our virtual studio, Rebecca Plumstead, Head of Seniors Living at DWP, and she'll be talking about the subject of designing modern seniors living facilities. Rebecca Plumstead has 25 years of extensive design and project management experience gained across diverse project types. She has a deep understanding of the contribution that built form makes to an environment, particularly regarding seniors living, residential education, and community buildings. So, welcome to Talking Architecture and Design, Rebecca Plumstead.
Thank you, Branko. It's great to be here. Great to talk architecture anytime.
It certainly is. It certainly is. In fact, I've noticed more and more people are talking about it on a daily basis across the media, which is a very interesting trend. But anyway, so speaking of trends, what are some of the latest trends when we're talking about modern seniors living design?
New development in both retirement and residential aged care is definitely becoming more sophisticated and diverse. Right. Retirement villages, they're not just low density greenfield developments in the outer suburbs, nor residential aged care facilities like the quasi hospitals of old. And even land lease communities are becoming increasingly high end. We're seeing a lot more medium rise in inner urban developments, mixed use buildings that house other related uses, such as health tenancies, apartment style retirement villages with rooftop bars and gardens, cafes the public can access, resort style restaurants and communal areas that cater for a really diverse range of activities. And facilities that provide for the fact that retirement village residents may not actually be fully retired. Residential aged care has moved away from institutional design, breaking down into smaller household groupings, which are more home-like and provide a better care environment, especially for residents with dementia. Integration of technology at every level is fast becoming the norm. Touchscreen concierge within retirement apartments, sensor system that can detect resident falls and changes in behaviour to flag to care staff that a resident needs some assistance or investigation into their health. Another quite interesting thing we're seeing happening is as the sector is working really hard to try and upgrade and replace old stock, there's a number of providers using meanwhile uses to provide housing for single older women at risk of homelessness, which is a really fantastic interim development we're seeing.
Actually, that is also been in the news quite a bit. I think I've so far from memory read over the past 12 months 4 to 5 articles on that subject, which is quite amazing. There's one thing that you and I spoke about off air, and it's something that perhaps we should clear up for listeners. It's terminology, isn't it? It's now. I got stuck, which I'll admit, you know, I had no idea, which is nothing new to most of our listeners. But anyway, so there's seniors living, there's aged care, and then there's retirement villages, or there's a couple of different ways those terms are used, aren't there?
There is. So seniors living is really an umbrella term,
right,
that captures assisted living, retirement villages, aged care. Residential aged care is looked after by federal government, if you like.
Right.
Retirement villages is a state government legislation area, but a lot of providers do provide both, and some will only provide in one area or the other. And then there's some people who are providing assisted living. There's in-home care, which I'm sure we will talk about because that's very big at the moment as well.
It certainly is. So in terms of seniors living design, this is kind of a, how would I say, a sort of a very, very broad question, but is it where it should be, or is it still evolving in terms of, is it moving in a certain direction? Because I've noticed a lot of these facilities, and you've also mentioned, I mean, some of the things you mentioned sounds like fun. Oh, gee, when can I go? But I mean, some of these facilities absolutely look stunning. So, is the design, is it sort of stopped, or is it still evolving in your experience?
Are constantly evolving, and there are many great developments, but as to where seniors living sort of should be, there's no single solution. I mean, first and foremost, it needs to meet the needs of the resident, and these needs differ so widely. So when we talk seniors living, as I mentioned before, it's an umbrella term, but it can range from a lifestyle village for the over 50s, traditional retirement villages, assisted living, residential aid care, secure dementia support facilities. So I guess the people that live in these places reflect the same cross-section of people that are within our society, and they're not all the same, and they do not all need or want the same thing. So we've just really, it's evolving in parallel with society.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell me about now this is now I'll get this I'll probably get this wrong, knowing me. It's a retirement village, I believe, Europa on Alma. What is it about the design that makes this facility so special?
Yes, this is a really beautiful development
It is actually.
down in St Kilda, and it really breaks away from the conventional image of a retirement village. So, for starters, it's medium rise apartment building in an urban context, and the common areas feel like a luxury hotel, but the facility maintains a relationship to the sort of artistic bohemian history of the area of St Kilda. And one of the key things that retirement villages in urban areas are able to do is maintain the diversity of a local community. In that building, all the artwork, for example, in the common areas was sourced through a local art tender process, and that was all incorporated into the interior design. There's an independently run cafe that opens out to the street and also connects into the building's foyer, again, very sort of hotel-like. Some really interesting facilities are provided as specifically relevant for that location. So there's an arts and crafts workshop, library and games room, there's a cinema, private dining area, a bar, barbecue areas, a rooftop community and function area with rooftop gardens, and there's a very active gardening club there. There's a gymnasium with the equipment all specifically designed for older people as well. There's a shared vehicle arrangement and additional basement storage for residents to use or create small workshops in. So the focus there is very much on lifestyle, community, and supporting independence. But at the same time, you feel like you're in a slick, modern apartment, huge balcony. You think you're in a high-end city apartment, not a retirement village.
Let's go to the other side of this, I guess, ecosystem. There's in-home care. Is that something that you think that well, is it becoming more popular than seniors living or assisted living? And if so, why is that?
Look, it is very popular. There's a long waiting list, and demand will continue to rise with the growing demographic of older Australians, no doubt. And it's popular because people want to stay in their own home, in their own communities, and maintain their independence for as long as possible. However, it doesn't really take away from the demand for retirement villages because you can get your in-home care in your home in the retirement village. But statistically, we know it does defer people's entry into residential aged care. So that really shows that it is advantageous for people extending their independence. There's a time, though, for most people, or for many people, where home care cannot provide what is required, and residential aged care becomes the most obvious solution.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. So, modern seniors living design, in terms of let's assume this very, very wide description, prioritizes resident well-being by focusing on creating comfortable and, of course, as you mentioned, aesthetically pleasing environments, incorporating things like natural light, promoting social interaction, which is, as we know, very important, through communal spaces, and also offering amenities that support physical and mental health. Now, you've mentioned a few things that other things that these places provide, but what else do you think they should really focus on? Like, they should really laser-like focus on?
I would say design for dementia
Yeah.
is the big one.
Wow. Okay.
So, in aged care, that is already an important design parameter, and many aged care facilities have even design specific, dementia specific units within their facility. But it is such a wide-reaching problem that nearly all residents will have some form of cognitive degradation, even if to a small extent. So, especially when going into aged care is now being pushed back and back in terms of people's age and ability. In retirement living, dementia design is really yet to be embraced, as they've always been a place of independent living. But again, with people remaining in their homes for so much longer, that growing demographic, the number of people in retirement living with dementia will grow. Now, there's a lot of technologies that it can assist in this realm, but there's also a lot of architectural, landscape, and interior design approaches that can assist a person with in the early stages of dementia to live more independently. So I think that is really an area that will be getting more attention. And there are actually retirement villages around, some of which are providing residential aged care as well, but they're a little bit caught up in some legislative complexities, and there's only a few of them.
Right, interesting. We're just wondering, is that also a function of that because we're living longer, or are we getting dementia more often? Is that the
I
reason?
think there's really more, just more aged people.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
And
there
well,
are.
I guess we are living longer. Sorry, our
Yeah.
health is improving and people are living longer. So, yeah, they're getting dementia before they die, when otherwise perhaps they may have died from other causes, as grim as that sounds.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We are indebted to Cineat, whose sponsorship of the 2024 Age and Healthcare series makes all this possible. Cineat's Weather Defense is a rigid air barrier board used in ventilated facade systems or rain screens to create a pressure-equalized cavity. Ventilated facades are a popular choice in health and aged care because they improve air tightness and energy efficiency in a building. They also improve acoustic and thermal performance. Weather Defense comes with a distinctive purple fleece liner paper and is classified as vapor permeable class 4. It is water, weather, mold, and mold resistant and helps to create a healthy building and a comfortable environment. So if you want to know more, visit www.cineat.com.au. And now it's back to the show. you guys, specialize in terms of design. Well, DWP specializes in seniors living design, as do a number of other practices. How does your offering, or how does the way you guys approach the design or the sector differ from, say, maybe other firms?
Well, DWP has a particular focus in our design on community and collaboration. So I'd say we work with our clients to ensure that they're part of the design process. And that sort of collaboration often reveals less tangible aspects of the brief or client's expectation. And it also allows lots of ideas to be workshopped, sometimes thrown away, and sometimes something left afield then can come into the design. From the community aspect, we also think of our project designs as part of a bigger picture. So we take very seriously our responsibility to the local area and community that that development sits within, and to the environment generally, with our sustainability action plan is embedded into every project. I think the other key factor for us working in this sector is that we work in a number of related sectors, health and sports and leisure, for example, and that knowledge and the learnings from those sectors, we can bring that to the table, and sometimes that provides a different perspective on conventional solutions.
And you yourself specialize in this area. Why do you like it so much?
Well, I really do love this sector, and I actually just fell into it as a new graduate, happened to start working with a firm that did a lot of this work. I love working to provide homes for people that will really improve their quality of life. So when they move into these facilities, it's not just the care that's being provided to them that can improve their quality of life, but just the environment itself that can improve quality of life. But it's also a really challenging compliance and commercial environment. So you're not just providing one house for one person or one family. You're trying to solve a whole raft of problems in a very challenging kind of environment. Another aspect I particularly like is that you're usually working for clients who are the owners and operators of these facilities. So they have a real interest in the long-term quality and performance of the building. So I enjoy that long-term aspect of the project. And then lastly, there's just such a lot of variety. Big and small, rural, metropolitan, different target markets, high care, independent living, community facilities, even workplace sometimes for, maybe the head office for providers. They might be making an industrial kitchen that supplies food to a number of different facilities. So there's also interesting developments in this sector that are not just the residential components.
Without being too glib, it's almost like you're designing a small precinct.
Well, yes, there are so many interrelated components, particularly in an aged care facility or in a campus, which provides both retirement and aged care, and sometimes maybe assisted living apartments that are trying to slot in between the two levels of independence and high care. And those campuses, in fact, that placemaking aspect is a really core component of integrating with community and having a holistic view of how aged care fits into a bigger kind of environment rather than just siloed.
Cineat is part of the global ETEX group and a proud manufacturer of plasterboard and metal framing systems in Australia. Known for their excellent technical support, a focus on sustainability and innovative products, Siniat has grown into a trusted brand for architects and builders in the residential and commercial sectors. So if you want more information, go to www.siniat.com.au.
Can I ask you, if you were to reimagine, if you got a wish to reimagine the sector, okay, what would that look like? What would you ask for?
I think high quality, sustainable design that, you know, that residents deserve,
right.
a truly supportive environment for aging in place, for a really broad range of physical and cognitive abilities, so that as the person goes on their aging journey, they are supported as their needs change.
Right.
Diverse and flexible offerings, particularly being able to respond to different cultural and economic needs. We see, I guess, in, say, in the US, for example, there's specific aged care and retirement development that might cater to the gay community, for example. And here in Australia, I've been involved in ones that might cater to different religious or ethnic communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to increase that diversity to match the diversity of our society. But the options are endless, I guess. That's the thing. I'd like to see more money in the sector to assist operators to achieve what they want to do and to allow there to be shorter waiting lists and more accessibility for people.
Yeah, I guess if we're looking at more dementia, there definitely has to be more money into the sector, doesn't there? Okay, so give me an example. So I'm not like, I know of the sector, but I'm not an expert in it, but give me an example of what you would, doesn't matter anywhere in the world, doesn't have to be in Australia, like, if it is great, but it doesn't have to be, of the best designed seniors living facility and why, in your opinion, this is the best.
I don't think there is one best.
Okay.
There are many really beautiful, well-designed facilities and villages, but there's also developments that are much more basic and they're filling an equally important function or doing interesting things in how they provide care or partner with other organisations. I do really like designs that fit their environment well and cleverly resolve the problems that the brief and site can throw at them. One development that really impressed me with their vision is Uniting Communities high-rise mixed-use development in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And that houses all of their services, including retirement, disability accommodation, workplaces, retail, community services and more. And I think that's a really great development model. It's efficient, sustainable, community-focused. So I particularly like that development. And I guess internationally, an example of intergenerational living by Humanitas in the Netherlands has attracted a lot of really positive attention. We've not replicated it here, but I think there's a lot of potential in that type of mixed demographic housing, both from an economic perspective and from a well-being perspective. So I know that hasn't answered the question about what's the best architectural seniors living facility, but I think architects respond to brief and place and need and how they solve those problems and create a place that can fulfill the operator's requirements is really where the greatness in the architecture lies.
Actually, it reminded me, wasn't there a place in Spain where they did, where they put, you know, aged care with kindy or whatever, preschool or whatever. Was that Spain? If I got my facts right,
I'm not familiar if that was in Spain. Certainly here, I mean, we've all seen the ABC show.
That's right,
and I've worked on facilities where there is schools and kindergartens and preschools actually on the same site, and those preschool children come over and visit with the aged care residents, and it's really fantastic. The residents really look forward to it. So even well before the show on ABC, there are providers that are doing that sort of thing, just
Interesting.
making it work.
Do you ever think, and this is a kind of a weird question, but do you ever think that we'll get to a point where we won't need seniors living facilities?
No, I think they'll always be needed, and a growing need, in fact. Technological advances and additional in-home support can't provide all the things that retirement living and residential aged care provide, be that 24/7 care, companionship, security, right sizing, activities, sense of community. There's so many advantages, I think, in the seniors living offerings that I think they're here to stay, but they will evolve over time, certainly. As we age, our social networks often shrink, as does our ability and confidence to be physically active. So those factors are critical for mental health. And I think seniors living facilities play a crucial role in building connections between residents and opportunities to be active in a supported environment. So I think that's really why they're here to stay.
Lucky they have you to design more of them. Thank you, Rebecca Plumstead, Head of Seniors Living at DWP. You've almost made me want to retire. And I say that in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, there's some great future there for you. You'll find somewhere.
Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking Architecture and Design. Until next time, goodbye.
This has been Branko Mladic, and thank you very much for listening to Talking Architecture and Design. And of course, thank you to Cineet, proud sponsors of our 2024 Aged and Healthcare Design Series. Be sure to check them out at cineet.com.au. You can also head over to architectureanddesign.com.au for all the latest news, views, projects, products, people, and much, much more. See you next time.